This podcast is a production of Bridges Church. Please visit us at www.bridgeschurch.net.
All right, if you have your message notes, you will take those out. There should be pens around if you need one of those. This is week three in our series that we're talking about values to live by. It's our time to build, and we're looking at the values of the church and really talking about what that means. And you know, in every family you have values, whether they're spoken or unspoken. I was thinking about in our family, we have some things that we live out. Everybody in our family has something to do, probably like your family to do. In our family, our boys have several jobs. One, we have a bunch of trees in our yard, and they drop sticks all the time. And it's just constant, along with the black walnuts. It's like, I was out working the yard yesterday, and it was like artillery coming down. You would hear one of these black walnuts falling through the trees, making all this noise, and you go, clear out. And they're huge, and so I got a bunch of those. And my boy's job, one of their jobs is to pick up sticks and walnuts. So they do that sometimes. Their job is to clean their bathroom. They have to do that because we have multiple people come into our house. And that's the kind of the bathroom everybody uses. So they keep that clean. They clean that up. And then their other job is to dry the dishes every night. Now, we have a dishwasher. People go, why don't you use your dishwasher? Well, in our family, we eat in about 10 minutes. Stacy takes hours to make it. And then we just eat. We don't talk. And we're done in 10 minutes. All that work. And then we're done in 10. And we don't have any family time. So we said, we're not using the dishwasher. We use that time to talk and share about our time. So our boys do the dishes. They dry and they put away. And they ask my wife, Stacy, where do things go? That's pretty much how the conversation goes. Every time, no matter how many times they put it away, it's like, I've just dried this. Where does it go? My job is to wash the dishes. I do that and I pass it off to them. I got to scrape everything. That's one of my jobs. The other one of my jobs is I mow the grass. I'm the only one that mows the grass because I enjoy that 1 hour to myself. And I have my headphones on and I listen to podcasts. I listen to fun things. And when I'm done, this is what I do. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. When I'm done, I get in the street and I stand there and look at the yard. I go, look at that. That's beautiful. You know, for one time, it looks great and it's all nice and I don't have very much grass. But when it's all done, it looks great. And I can say, I've completed something, which, you know, sometimes you just don't get to see what you've done. But with the yard, you can stand back and it looks great. So that's my job. Stacy has multiple jobs. She cooks, like I said, but she also runs errands and she spends our money. That's her job. She loves to go shopping. And so if you need something, she says, I'll go get it. I mean, no matter what it is, she volunteers to go get it. And then she goes and gets it and she brings it home. And she's like that hunter-gatherer. She'll go to multiple grocery stores to shop. When I go shop, I go one place. I don't care what it costs. I'm going to buy it there because I'm not running around. I don't know if it's more expensive somewhere else. She knows. So here's the deal. If you have something that needs to be bought, give Stacy your money and she'll go buy it for you, okay? And if you don't like it, if it's the wrong thing, then she'll bring it back and then exchange it. So she loves to do that. It's her job. So we all have jobs. Now, Jack the dog, our dog, has a job. He has multiple jobs. One, he is just cute. I mean, he just can't help it. And he gives us stories to tell. There's always a Jack the dog story. He makes you laugh. Something's going on. But his real job is, I don't know if you know this or not, I work at home. And in order to kind of work at home, I've got to get out of the house. So at 10 o'clock, he can tell time. I don't know how he does it. There's no alarm. But at 10 o'clock, he comes and stares at me. That's his job. And he will stare holes in the wall through me in order to get me to take him out. And so for that next 20 minutes, we go walk a little over a mile. He and I go out and walk. Now, he has the gift of evangelism in our family. He's the only one with the gift of evangelism because as we walk, people come up to him. And he goes and greets everybody. He's not afraid of anybody. And so I get to meet my neighbors. And they'll go, what's your dog's name? It always goes the same way. That's Jack the dog. Very good. And then they'll go, what's your name? And I'll tell them. And they'll forget my name. They don't know my name at all. But they know I'm Jack the dog's owner. And so when I see them, they go, how's Jack the dog? And I'll tell them how Jack the dog's going. So I know my neighbors through Jack. And I can pray for my neighbors because I've met them all over our neighborhood. That's his job. He's got other jobs too. He gets me out. And as we're walking, we get to explore God's creation. A couple of weeks ago, he and I were walking. And we walk around the pond not far from our house. And as we were walking, we heard geese coming over the trees. And he stopped. And he looked like, I got to see the geese. So I stopped and I go, I got to see the geese. And I saw over the trees 20 geese in three V-shaped formations. You know what I'm talking about? And they're coming over the trees. And as they came over the trees to the little valley we were in, They went from a formation of three V's into a formation of one V. It was beautiful. It was amazing. They just went all together. And then they swooped around their valley. And Jack and I are both like looking like this. They swooped around their valley, came across the trees on the other side, came toward the lake, and landed in formation. And I just had to clap. I mean, just go, God, that was awesome. And Jack, if he could have clapped, would have clapped. But he was watching the whole time too. And he just looked at me like, that was cool. We had this moment together. We were watching just God's work. And what I do, a lot of times I have a lot of writing to do. I write messages, I write studies, different things. And I cannot sit for an extended period of time and think. I don't know how you guys, I think better when I'm walking. So what I do is I get all my stuff done before 10. I know he's going to come find me. And then for 20 minutes, as we're walking, I'm praying and I'm meditating and I'm reflecting. And by the time I get home, it all just kind of goes in order. Jack has a tremendous job to do and he doesn't even know it. He just wants to go, but that's how he is. In our family, and probably like your family, an unspoken value is simply this, that everybody has a role, and every role is important. Have you ever thought about your values in life? Have you ever thought about the values of your family? Some of them may be unspoken. These are things that we believe. It may be that, yes, we're going to take care of one another, or this is how we spend the money. This is how we save money. This is how we treat people. We have these values. And values are extremely important. In this series, we're calling Our Time to Build. We are focusing in somewhat on the building that we're going to be asking God to help us to build, to provide for. But the building is not as important as the people inside. And the people inside have to live by values. Otherwise, you're just a building, an empty shell. But when the people live by common values, then it means something and God can use you. In this series, we are looking at our five values. And I'll just review a couple from the last 2 weeks. One, Bridges values. We want to be a community where everyone is welcome. It's a value of acceptance. We want people to come in here from wherever, whatever your background is, whatever you have done in your past, whatever you have in your bank or don't have in your bank. None of these things matter. What matters is that you are accepted because God accepts you. We want that to be a value where everybody can come and be part of this family. Your past doesn't matter. God forgives. He's a God of second, third, and fourth, and hundreds of chances. And we want to be a church that says, just come on in. We're all got issues. Come be part of this. So acceptance. Next thing, we want to be a place where everyone can connect and have relationships. That's a key to life. How do you love if you don't have relationships? And we have these spiritual relationships where we're encouraging one another and building one another up and just being there for one another. You need to have that. And we express that through our greeting time and our time after and before the service. But mostly we express that in our small groups and our ministry teams where you get to know people and ask how they're doing and what's going on in their life and be prayed for and pray with someone. That's where we build relationships. Today we want to talk about our third value. It's this, we want to be a community where everyone can contribute. That everyone here has a way to serve. It's a value of service. We're going to be looking at that. In our series, we're looking at John chapter 4. We've been reading through it the last few weeks. I want to kind of continue to remind you to be reading that, going through that as you move through our time together. John chapter 4 is an interesting story. It's a story of the woman at the well. You probably know this story. It's where Jesus had this encounter with a woman who was not accepted just anywhere. She had a difficult life, some of it by her own choosing, and yet Jesus spoke with her at noon when no one else was around, no one else was welcoming her in. She was an outcast. Jesus accepted her and spent time with her. We also see where Jesus built a relationship with her because that's something that she was searching for. She was searching for a relationship. She wanted to be in a group, a setting, a community, and Jesus provided that for her. But I want to look at something different today, a verse that just wouldn't, you would kind of skip over if you weren't careful. A verse that really speaks into the life of Jesus and the life of his followers. It's John chapter 4, verse 8. And it's a parenthetical, meaning it was added in by John later on. Jesus has come and he's sitting by the well because he's tired. And that allowed him to meet this woman. In John chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. You would skip right over that, right? It just seems like it's filling in a space. But think about how important that is. If this woman comes out at noon and she's an outcast and people are not with her, she's going to feel a little self-conscious. And if she arrives there at the well in the center of town and there's 13 men sitting there, and there may have been women traveling with Jesus, but a crowd, Think about how uncomfortable that would have been. And she probably would have turned around and gone back home. But the disciples weren't there. They had gone on a food run. Jesus is hungry. Jesus is tired. We can go get food. We can do that job. It's a behind-the-scenes job. Nobody maybe doesn't, they don't even notice it. They don't even know what's happening. But we're going to get food. And what happens is that clears the way for Jesus to connect with this woman. Something to understand about every time we serve Jesus, it allows someone else to connect with Jesus. That's the whole purpose of every bit of the service that happens in a church. It's designed not to get a job done. It's designed so people can connect with Jesus. Somebody set that chair up for you today. They did it so you could connect with Jesus. Somebody came by earlier today and prayed for that chair so the person that sat there would connect with Jesus. The worship team has been up here today serving us so that we could connect with Jesus. The people that set up the things around us, the people that set up the food, did it so you would come and be accepted and connect with Jesus. The disciples went into town to get food because they were hungry. And Jesus was hungry, but they did it so the woman and eventually the whole village could connect with Jesus. As we look at service today, just understand this, that service transcends language. It transcends culture. Meaning I can go anywhere and serve, and it doesn't matter if I can connect with them by speaking. They still understand service, right? I can go anywhere in the world, and I can serve somebody and go, okay, why? Why? Because of Jesus. This works everywhere, in any culture, any time, any place. Serving is a universal language of love. And it's God's language to express love. Today, we're going to look at five principles of serving. They're there on your outline. I'm going to talk about what God says about love. We're going to look at some scripture. And as we process this, what I want you to do is ask yourself this. How does God want me to use what we're talking about today? What are you saying to me, God, about my life and why I'm here? So five principles about service today. Number one on your outline is this. Understand that God created us to serve. You want to know why you exist? Why are you here? What's your purpose? God created us to serve, and everyone has different ways to serve, but you are here to serve. It's a mindset. It's an understanding of why we're here. Why do we exist? Why are human beings on this world? Because God created us to serve. One of my favorite verses, Ephesians 2:10, says this, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." A lot packed into this verse. We are created in Christ Jesus. That in Jesus we have a purpose, we have a meaning. And the purpose and meaning is for good works, to serve, that we're prepared beforehand. Meaning God knew before what he was going to do with you. This is why you're here. It's why I created you like I did. And you're different than everybody else. You are unique. And he says, well, we should walk in them. It's the purpose of this, is we walk in them. Now, he uses an interesting word. I've taught on this before. The word workmanship there is the Greek word poema. You understand where we got the word poem from, the same word? It means a work of art. It means masterpiece. God made you his masterpiece. And he stood back and said, wow, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. So would you turn to the person next to you and just say, you're a real piece of work. Could you do that real quick? Make sure you say it in the right way, okay? Some of you guys are laughing a little bit too much at that. What do you think there? I brought something from home. This is like my show and tell time. This is my object lesson. This is off our shelf. If I drop this, it's going to be bad, okay? I was like, pack it and a lot of cool stuff. This is from my great aunt and uncle. They were my father's aunt and uncle. And he was a buyer and a seller for R.J. Reynolds. So where everybody else has kind of lived where they were, he lived over in Asia. He spent time in China. He would go to the Philippines. And then they gave my father a lot of their stuff. They didn't have any children. This is handmade from China. All right? It's unique. It was hand-painted. There are no more like this. At our house back home where my mom lives, she had a whole set of these things. She had the china. Anybody else have the china that sat in a hutch? That's what my mom had. And when she passed away, my siblings and I said, okay, we can't give this to one person. Let's split it up. This was the only piece I wanted because I didn't have a place to put it. Because here's the deal with all of these beautiful things. they sat inside the hutch. Had a little light inside. Anybody else have one of those? And that was the stuff that mom says, we can't ever use it. It's too valuable. So I never ate off of any of it. None of us did. I think maybe they had a dinner party one time where they used it, but I never saw it used. It just sat inside and you looked and go, well, that's pretty cool. But this was designed to be used. This is a vase, or where they say it, you know, if you're like kind of high class, it's a vase, right? I don't know if it's a vase or a vase. It's designed to hold flowers. And wouldn't this be really cool if there were flowers in this? Wouldn't it be even more beautiful? You know, sometimes we stick stuff on a shelf or we put it inside of a hutch and go, let's just look at it. But the person who made this, who crafted it with their hands, they did it so it would be used. The plates were designed to hold food. The silverware was designed to bring the food up to your mouth. It was designed to be used. It's a masterpiece. It's a piece of art, just like you are. And God designed you and me to be used, to be useful. And I think the beauty comes out as it's used, as it's put into place, just like you are. You and I were created to serve. We are God's masterpiece. Rick Warren wrote it this way. He says, before you were even born, God had already decided what contribution he wanted you to make with your life. God didn't put you on this planet just to take up space, to use resources, and to die. No, he put you here to serve him by serving others. That's our role. And in fulfilling that role, you make the world beautiful in your contribution to what he's called you to do. So number one is God created us to serve. Number two, God has appointed us to serve. He has appointed us to serve. It's a great word, appointed, if you think about it. God has appointed. He's called you. He's commanded. He's directed you to serve. 1 Timothy 1:12, Paul, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, spoke about his life this way. He says, I thank him, Christ, who has given me strength. Christ Jesus our Lord. Because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. Saul, as you know, had persecuted Christians. And then when Jesus got hold of him, he was appointed to service. His particular job was to preach to the Gentiles. You may not have that job. You have a different job. You've been appointed to some work. Our boys are in ROTC at our local high school. The Air Force has put that on in their high school, and they are officers, or they serve in there. One's an officer, one is serving in a different way. But the last few Corps commanders, the person in charge of this particular group, has gone on to a service academy. The last one went to the Naval Academy. Another one's gone to West Point. They go different places, maybe the Air Force, maybe they go to the Coast Guard. But you think about what a service academy is. It's a place where someone goes. They're trained and they're equipped to serve our country. Perhaps to give their life for our country. That's what it's designed for. They're appointed to serve. You and I come to the church where it's the job of the church is to train us and equip us to serve. Perhaps to give our life for our Savior. But then we're appointed to serve, and whatever that may be, we are called to do what God has called us to do. And it may be different things. It may be one thing now and one thing in a different season. It may be here right in front of you, do this thing. When you're in the service, interesting word, isn't it? The military service, you're here to serve the country. They may say, go down here to the flood areas and serve there. People are doing that. The National Guard has gone to serve. There are two guys in our church that got the call to serve Christ. See, we have a phrase we bounce around at Bridges sometimes. It's simply this, see a need, meet a need. When God presents something, you're appointed to go serve. See a need, meet a need. And one of them, Dale Southern, his cousin was one of the fire department volunteers down in a little place called Wallace, North Carolina. It's not far from Wilmington. It's Highway 40 between Raleigh and Wilmington. And they got hit really hard. And Dale's cousin got hit really hard. And I think we have a picture of their volunteer fire department. That's what happened there. There's about 30 of these volunteer fire department guys that work at this particular one. 25 of them or so lost their houses, and none of them have flood insurance. So everything is gone. But when they lost everything, we have a next picture. This is what they did. They served. So here's a guy just dragging a boat through town, and they've got supplies, and they're looking for people, and they've been going out doing rescue missions, even though their own particular homes have been destroyed. Dale was telling me earlier that one of the guys had a brain tumor removed not too long ago. He's got this big scar, and he's still going out there to serve. I go, wow, that's pretty intense. Dale contacted us. He contacted these guys. He went down to our food pantry, clothes closet. He gathered some things together. Next picture. And he loaded up in his truck. And he and Kevin Biggs, who also goes to our church, drove down to distribute these things. And they got there and they kind of scoped it out. And they delivered these things. And the next picture, this is what they did there at their fire station, is once it dried out, they've set up some command centers. And you can go in and pick things up. You see all the bleach on the table on the right. That's something that's valuable. I talked to my sister who lives in New Bern, and New Bern got wiped out pretty good. And her house is fine, but her in-law's house got pretty wiped out. One of the problems they're going to face over the next years is mildew. You don't even think about that. Once you clean everything up, underneath the house can get mildew. So all that Clorox and stuff, you're going underneath houses, and they're just cleaning it up. My sister told me that there in their town of New Bern, people are showing up from all over the world because it was on the national news. Churches are coming from Tennessee, South Carolina, all over the country to help serve because they saw a need and they meet a need. I talked to Dale earlier, and we'll go back, maybe send teams as it kind of dies out. This is a long-term thing because this is what you do when God calls you to serve. You just help. And some of you guys have been donating stuff, and that's awesome. And we're going to keep sending things out and just saying, this is how we can do it. Now, it may be in Wallace, North Carolina, that you've been called to go. Maybe right here in our own community. But God just says, look, I'm going to appoint you to serve. And where you see a need, you step in and make a difference. Show them my love. Show them what I'm doing. It's one of the things I've heard from this area is there's so many church groups there that people are just going, this is amazing. Look at what God's doing. Sometimes we blame God for tragedies. But do we go on the backside and go, wow, God, you brought hundreds and thousands of people and millions of dollars into this area to take care of, because that's the kind of God that we serve. We have been appointed to serve. There were two of these guys that were with Jesus that day, and they went into town to serve. Their names are James and John, and they went to go get lunch. And when they came back, I don't know what was kind of going through their minds, but a while later, they kind of must have talked to their mom, because their mom came to Jesus and go, look, you know, when you die and you go to heaven and you establish your kingdom, can you put my sons at the right hand and left hand of yours? Can they get the high levels? I mean, they put in their time, they've done their stuff. And Jesus talked to them and said, look, guys, that's not for me to give. Let me tell you, though, that's the way everybody else acts, but not my kingdom. He told him in Matthew chapter 20, this is what it's like to be in Jesus' kingdom. He says, but whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus said, this is how I live my life. I've come to serve. And if you want to be great, he doesn't say there's anything wrong with being great. He says, just don't try to be great by being up top. He says, the way you're going to be served is by the way you'll be great is by serving other people. Do it behind the scenes. Do it where people can't see you. Just jump in there and take care of it. You want to have a great life? Be a great servant. Be a great servant. And I believe that great churches serve. That's what makes a church great. It's not their size, it's the size of their heart. It's not the finances, it's how often do they give of themselves, how much do they give of themselves to serve. When you look at the building that's being designed, I want you to notice that, and you can look in the booklet or go look in the sign, you're going to see that it's a worship center and a ministry center. The idea this would be a place where we can serve our community. We give out food, we give out clothes, those are awesome things, and I think we would continue those for as long as we're a church, as long as we exist before Christ comes, we're going to continue doing those. But what's the next step? We want to take the next step of being a place where we can equip people to move out of poverty, teach them the skills they need to have, help them to connect with jobs, have classes where we train and equip people to move from where they are to where God wants them to be. We want to be a place where children can come, and we'll train them in after school to do well in school and be trained up to serve the world as God created them to be. We want to be more than just a distribution center, which is awesome. We want to be a place that people can come, and they can find God. And they can be served. And their lives can be changed and transformed. and that it connect with Jesus as we serve, just like as the disciples serve by going to get lunch. We want to serve through a ministry center and serve our community and see transformation. That's the path to greatness. So we're created to serve. We're appointed to serve. Number three, the third thing is that God has gifted us to serve. God has gifted us to serve. This is huge. God has gifted us to serve. 1 Peter 4:10, it says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace that you've been gifted. So can you turn to the person next to you and say, you're God's gift to the world? Can you let them know that? God, you're God's gift to the world. Somebody in first hour said this. They go, I know. And I thought, okay, yeah, I know. I'm God's gift to the world. I got it. So maybe somebody said it at your table too, but God has gifted us to serve. Some of us, all of us actually have been gifted when you were born. You had natural things. Some of you can organize. Some of you are strong and can move things. Some of you guys repair. Some of you guys are good with your hands. Some of you guys are good writers. As we were singing just now, I noticed, and I sat to the far, so everybody over here, you're all good singers. I heard really good singers all the way through. So you guys have been gifted musically. That's huge. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are leaders just by birth. You just take over, right? You go, this is what we're going to do. Little children sometimes will set up a little classroom. You ever know one of these kids to do this? And they start teaching their dolls and their stuffed animals and stuff. You have the gift of teaching. You were just born with it. And you need to do that. That's serving the world. But also, when you accepted Jesus Christ and you had the Holy Spirit come into your life, you become spiritually gifted to serve as well. The Spirit comes into your life and begins to move through you in ways that are just mysterious and powerful. You've been given spiritual gifts. Do you know what they are? For those of you in a small group, you're going to be going through this in your small group, and you're going to go through the list in Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and in your community, in your small group, you're going to try to identify, here's how God has gifted me. It's nothing we do for ourselves or go, look at me, how great I am. It's simply, yeah, I sense God working me through me in these different ways. And you have your group to help identify that. I've been in groups where they've helped me identify the spiritual gifts that I have, which is teaching, wisdom, and service. It doesn't mean I'm great in those areas. It just means when I do those things, I sense God's presence in my life. And I go, okay, God, this is where I feel your joy in my life. Doesn't mean I can't do other things. It just means when I do those, I sense the Spirit. What is he doing in your life? If you want to look at those studies, we can give you some of those in the lobby. You can kind of go through and you can read Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and just go, God, show me what it is. Because you use your gifts to serve God. We've been gifted that way. As you came in today, you should have gotten a list. If you can take that out of our ministry teams. One of the things we do here at Bridges, again, to organize this, to structure this, is we get everybody in ministry teams. And here's the list of the teams that we have. You'll notice at the top on the front side there are Bridging the Gap Ministries. This is our nonprofit. It works over at Chatillon Church of Christ. We have our backpack ministry that every week gives out food to this school. They're shooting for 150 kids. They're just starting this coming week for the school year. The school identifies these children, and then we bring food over, and it's distributed to their classes. We do not know who they are. The school does. We just serve. And these kids that wouldn't have food on the weekend are served. And some of you are serving in that, or you're helping us get food. That's awesome. Our clothes closet was our highlighted ministry for this month. We give out clothes. We gave it out to the hurricane survivors. And we'll continue to do that. Our food pantry. We had a distribution day on Friday, and it was hopping. I mean, we were just moving really fast. These bags are heavy. They're like 40 pounds that we're giving out to people. And it's a lot of fun. And people, when we get out to their cars and we're giving them the food, they just stop us and they go, you just don't know what this means, or thank you. And we go, God gave it to us. We're giving it to you. But it's really is a powerful thing once a month to be able to do that. And we're seeing God grow that. We see the clothes closet teams list again. We go to the next team is the care team. Care team delivers meals to people that are in their homes. They're going through a tough time, or they've had an illness, or they're coming home from the hospital. We have a family now that we're giving food out for the next 2 weeks. We don't announce that here. We just, it goes through our care team. If you want to be part of that, just write on your card, I want to be part of that. And you just take a meal over to someone and just say hello and drop it off. And it's a really cool team. Our communion team, every week they prepare communion. You know that bread is homemade bread? It's It's unleavened bread. Someone makes it every week. The Seymours do that. Then they distribute it out and they clean it up and put it away every Sunday. Could use more people on that team. Our family ministry team, led by Jacob, is our birth through 12th grade team. It's all the volunteers that work with our children and our students. They have Bible studies at night. They have a youth group on Sunday night. They have a group meeting right now. I asked Jacob, what could you use? He said, we always could use volunteers, people that are just willing to hold a baby or to pour their life into a child or build a relationship with a student, just someone that can just be there and get to know our kids. Because our kids are right at that age where people accept Christ. You can make a huge difference in someone's life. If you want to be part of that team, again, you just connect to your Connect card. I'm interested in family ministry team. Our greeters greeted you as you came in. Their job is to say, hello, welcome to Bridges. And in their face and their body language, they're saying, you're accepted here. You're welcome here. Love to have more people doing that. On the backside is the next team, probably a lot of your favorite team, your hospitality ministry team. They're the ones who have all the food, the coffee back there. If you want to have Krispy Kreme, and some of you guys love that day, they bring that in, then sign up for the team and bring it. Make sure that it's here. You'll be a hero. It'd be awesome. But they just do, they take turns and they bring food in. Be part of that team. Our media presentation team is the one that does this behind me. They make sure we get all these things. And here's what I want you to do. Just hold up your finger like that. Can everybody do that? Just hold your finger and go like this. All right, you can be on the media team. You're signed up right now, okay? You just have to be watching and listening. Go, okay, click. You could do that. Everybody could do that. They'd love to have more people on that team. Our prayer and counseling team is our biggest team at Bridges. They our first team at Bridges, we had 100 people on the prayer team before we even started, just saying, God, what do you want to do? And this team prays for you. They were here this morning praying over the chairs and tables because someone was going to sit there. They're the ones that send out cards to you. They're the ones check on you. They're praying for the service right now. They pray in between the service. There's different roles that they take. Love to have everybody part of that team. Our setup and tear down team is exactly what it sounds like. They come in the morning, set all this up, and at the end of the day, they tear it all down. And we put it in a trailer, and half the stuff goes upstairs, and they move around. A lot of us that were there this morning, we're just relaxing now, right? Because it's hard work, and we could use some more people on that team. Our signs team, led by Bob Smith, they put the signs out on the road and put the signs out here in the parking lot. At the end of the day, they take them down. Huge team, I'll tell you why. We get these cards, and it says, how did you find out about Bridges? I hear over and over, we saw a sign. You were praying for a church, trying to find a place. You drove by and go, that may be it. And you saw the sign. That's huge. That's a way of getting people connected with God, as all the teams are. Our small groups team is just, we put together a group that just helps people get in small groups and helps train the leaders. Our sound team is over here. They're working now. We don't have a leader for that right now. We need some people to jump into that. We have two high school boys that are running that. They're both seniors. We're going to need some help to get trained. So this is your chance to jump in there. If you have an ear that works, at least one, okay? We'd like it to be stereo, but if you got one ear that works, we can train you, okay? We can teach you how to do that. They will be glad to do that. And Luke will jump in and help you too and get you ready so we can use some more people on the sound team. And then speaking of Luke, the last one's the worship ministry team. I want you to change something on there. It says email Charlie Hall and phone number Charlie Hall. So I don't have his number here to give to you. I'm not going to hand out his number to everybody. But if you want to get involved with that, see Luke at the end of the service. Put down luke@bridgeschurch.net. And Luke will help you. He's looking for, and he can tell you all he's looking for, to grow the band. We have a great core. We'd love to see additional vocalists, keyboardists, bass player. These guys can play everything, so if you can play something, they'll move around you. We even had an egg back there you can play, okay? Jonathan's back here on the cajon. He's playing an egg, too. If you have rhythm, and I do not have rhythm, you can play the egg. It might be your tryout, okay? But we'd love to have you. And since we're talking about Luke, I just want to bring this up, too. Luke and Angel, I'm going to say the word eloped. Is that close enough? A few months ago, they got married on the kind of quietly. So we've been saying they've been married, but they had their ceremony yesterday. And I heard it was really nice. So let's give them a hand. Angel's not here, but let's give them a hand. So after the service, everybody got him to shake his hand and congratulate them. We're just so proud of them and glad that they're both here using their giftedness to help us connect with Jesus. That's what these teams are all about. Most of them are behind the scenes and they would work for anybody. You don't have to serve on a team to serve Christ. That's just how we serve the church. You can serve in any way, but God has gifted you in some way to serve his body and to serve his world. Discover what that is. So God has gifted us to serve. Number four on our list is God holds us accountable for our service. God holds us accountable for our service. He gifts us, he created us, he's appointed us, but he also holds us accountable. Romans 14:12 tells us, so then each of us will give an account of himself to God. God will look at our life and just check and say, okay, I hold you accountable for that. If you are a college football fan, I know some of you don't want to bring that up today, but what they do on Sundays, after the game on Saturday, they watch the game film and they grade out the positions. They look at the different people and they're watching the film. They go, okay, yeah, you were in the right place. You missed the coverage. You made the tackle. They grade them and they said, this is how you did well and this is how you need to improve. And they give them a score and they do this all throughout. And at the end of the season, they're able to go through and say, here's some things to work on, things to get better. They're checked and there's this video that kind of proves it, shows this is what happened. They do that almost every sport. The thing with God is he doesn't grade us for salvation. Let's be careful of that. All right? We are not held accountable for salvation. That is a gift from God. It's grace. He does not say work for your salvation. It's the opposite of that. You cannot work for it. What we do know is this, that God does hold us accountable for it. He does look and says, okay, this is when you serve and this is what you did with it. We're told at the end when we stand before God that the things that we did are refined. They're placed in a fire. The things like wood, hay, and straw are burned, and the things that we did for God are like precious stones that are refined. And those are the things that God says, I look at in your life. I called my brother-in-law on Friday and just talking about what things were happening in New Bern. I said, what are you doing? Because I could hear he's doing something. He said he was working his backyard. His whole front yard is covered with stuff from the hurricane, and they'll pick that up at some point. There's no more room. So he's in the backyard. He's taking the pine straw and the pine limbs that have come down. He's got them in little piles. And he's just burning them up because they have no use, right? Those things are of no use. You got to get rid of them. Now, in the kingdom of God, you are extremely valuable, but the things that we do that don't count or anything are of no use to God. They just kind of get burned in the end. But the things that we do to serve, those are those things that God recognizes. And that brings us to number five, the last one, which is keyed off of the last one we did. It says that God will reward us for our service. He will reward us for our service. He holds us accountable. Then he kind of looks at that and says, based on this, this is your reward. Again, it's not salvation. Salvation is a free gift. But God rewards us. Colossians 3:23 and 24 says this, whatever you do, work heartily. So do it with your heart. Do it with your energy. As for the Lord and not for men, we don't serve one another, but we serve Christ through one another. Do it for the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. When you serve the Lord Christ, it's huge, isn't it? It's everything. Whatever you do, I'm doing this for Jesus. I'm serving my family, I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm setting up a chair, I'm doing it for Jesus. Taking care of my neighbors, I'm doing it for Jesus. I'm taking care of the flood victims, I'm doing that for Jesus. You fill in the blank. We do it for the Lord. And there's some sort of reward that God gives us. They're called crowns. I don't fully understand the crowns. I'll be honest with you. It's one of the things we're going to know it when we get there. And those crowns have jewels in them that we've been given from Christ. And we're going to offer them back to Jesus because it's like, it was your idea, Jesus. But here's the thing that I really want to hear, and I think you're probably in the same boat. We're told in Scripture that when we stand before Jesus and all the things are refined and he looks at us and goes, wow, well done, good and faithful servant. That's worth everything, isn't it? I mean, the gift of salvation is so far above anything we ever deserve anyway. That's everything. We are saved by Jesus. We're given the gift of eternal life. But then he stands in front of us and says, well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that from Jesus on that day when I'm standing in front of him. I want to be able to say, I took what you gave me, Jesus, and I didn't do it perfectly. And there were times I failed you. There were times where I did it with the wrong attitude. There were times I just didn't want to. There were times where I didn't. But here's what I have. And I just want to hear those words, well done, good and faithful servant. And I know you do too. And the way that we do that is just simply by serving Jesus. Serving Jesus. I'm going to use the word unlucky. I don't know if it's the right word or not, but the last three puzzles I bought, I've been unlucky with them. You know, puzzles, I like puzzles during the winter. Or you keep one on a card table and just kind of walk by. I don't like to sit down for hours with it, but I like doing puzzles. The last three that I bought have a piece missing. Every one of them. And it's logical, but it's always the last piece, right? I know, that think about that for a second. Of course, it's the last piece. But there's always a hole. And you find out when there's five pieces left, right? And you can see there's a hole there. And you go, I don't have enough pieces to fill that hole. And you get down and you go, there's one piece missing. Now, I think somebody in my family's messing with me because this happened the last three times. And we've never found it, though. It's always right there in the middle, and it's just gone. And I look at these puzzles. I mean, they're really beautiful puzzles. They're like national park puzzles. There's different ones. And I look at that. That's really cool. But there's one piece missing. I box it up and put it on my shelf, hoping that one day that piece will just appear. I don't want to throw it away. I can't give it to anybody. It's got a piece missing, right? But there it is. It's still cool. It's still pretty. It's just missing a piece. I think sometimes that happens with us in the church, right? The church is beautiful. It's God's creation. He made it to be beautiful. And every contribution we make fills in a piece until it makes a picture. But everyone needs to put their little piece in so it's full and complete. Go, wow, that's a picture of what God is doing. Rick Warren says this, quote, and nobody else can be you. No one else can be you, that piece that God has created. If you don't serve God the way intended or to serve him, then the world misses that piece of the jigsaw puzzle. We give our part, they get to see it. They get to experience it. I want to close with a verse. It's one we've read the first part of, but I want to get the second part. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ, wrote this, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God, meaning the words of God. This next one applies to all of us. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What's the purpose? It's to bring glory to Jesus so people can see him. It's his idea. It's his kingdom. He's the one that saves us. Peter just said, look, when you serve, you bring glory to Jesus. People see him. They get to know him. They get to lift his name up. That Samaritan woman spent just a little bit of time with Jesus, made possible because the disciples went off to go serve. And after their conversation, this lady went to her village and said, come see a man who told me everything I've ever done. And over the next 2 days, everybody in that village came to recognize Jesus Christ as the Messiah. All made possible by these guys who went off, these men and women probably and his disciples went off to serve so this lady could connect with Jesus. That's why we serve. So Jesus can get the glory and he can make a connection with people need to know him. Let's pray together. Father God, in the midst of all this, everything that we do here today, throughout the week, in our families, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, we do in the name of Jesus. We represent him through his strength and power. We're able to do what we do. Thank you for giving us gifts to serve, whether they're inborn or they come through the Spirit. We're here for a purpose. We're here for a reason. We have something to contribute to this world that you created. We have something to contribute to your church, the body of Christ. Give us wisdom to know where and how and when. Direct our thoughts, Father, to how we can contribute. And may we just grow closer to Christ ourselves as we do that. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.